Time for a Stain Gang podcast as we visit with Bernita Jackson to talk about Midwestern State women's basketball as the regular season winds down. Midwestern State is home Thursday at 5:30 to take on Lubbock Christian. And Bernita, as I understand it, it's a win and you're in scenario for Midwestern State. If you can beat Lubbock Christian, you'll be part of the field at the Lone Star Conference postseason tournament. Am I even close to right?
Yes, that's what we're seeing as well. And so Lubbock is the higher seed, and so that will give us the top break if we win, and obviously even if UT Permian Basin wins. But if they lose, then we'll be in it outright in eighth place. And so it's a tall order, but we're up for the challenge.
And Permian Basin, they're playing?
Their travel partner, Angelo.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So there's a couple of scenarios whereby you could make your way to Frisco, which has been your goal from the start of the season.
Mm-hmm. It's been our goal from the beginning, and you know, we're just grateful that we're one of the nine teams that still have an opportunity to play. Seven of them, you know, they're just playing the game, and they don't have an opportunity to play in March. And so we're just grateful that we get a shot at our goals and our dreams one more time.
I know you'd like to have this thing secured already, but if I had told you at the beginning of the season you'll play the last game of the year with a chance to be in the Lone Star Conference tournament, would you have been happy with that scenario?
I think so. Maybe ask Steve Gomez, can we move that game and play somebody else last?
Play one of those other seven teams?
But no, I mean, the reality of it is when you come into a tournament as an eight seed, you're going to play number one. And so the reality of it is when you come in low, you're going to have to play the top teams anyways if you want to stay, unless you're just trying to go for a day and just to say I went, you know, which I don't, you know, I'm not a believer in that. So we need to be playing good quality basketball this time of year anyway. So on a serious note, to answer your question, you know, I'm glad that we get a shot at it. You know, there are just some scenarios where people just, I mean, probably a week or two ago, just were out of the race. And so that has been a huge motivator for our team, because your dreams, your goals are right there within reach, but you have to take care of what you can take care of and control what you can control. So we're grateful for the opportunity and, you know, really do not like the fact that we let so many other opportunities slip away.
There's those five games where you lost by a total of 10 points.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully, and we were up in some of them and lost it at the end. And maturity, you know, we really, the lack of experience was something that you could see hindered us in those moments. And so you live, you learn. Those are great lessons for our young kids to learn and watch film and grow from. And again, as you go into the off season and then get ready for next season, you just continue to talk to them about win or lose, whether we win or lose, the value of every game and every possession and playing games through to the end of the quarter. Like, don't let up because there's a second left, because you can score in a second at this level. But, you know, we go and watch high school basketball, and once a team is up eight, you know, and it's 6 minutes to go, it's stall ball. And
right.
So they genuinely don't understand possession basketball, but they learned it this year. We continue to teach from it. It's good quality film to learn and grow and study. And so they're learning, you know, and again, I mean, Lubbock is a really good team, but, you know, every team is beatable. Nobody is just, you know, perfect or untouchable. And so they're not going to beat themselves. We're going to have to come into it with the mindset of what can we control and what can we do? How can we make shots and how can we get to our spots to make those shots? And we're going to have to put the ball in the hole. So we'll see. Thursday is it. We got 2 days to go. I'm excited.
It would seem like this is probably true with every game, but particularly with this one, playing a team like Lubbock Christian, the start is going to be very important to prove to yourself, hey, we can hang with these people.
Sure. I mean, I think the way you start something matters. I think we started well at Lubbock and it just got away from us. But we got opportunities. We just didn't capitalize on them. We didn't finish them. And we just have to play better here.
And that's a plus, because you've got that game. You've got this game at home, and you may see it different, but I see that you're a much better basketball team at home this season.
Yeah, something about sleeping in our own beds, you know. So, so, yeah, we play better at home. I mean, we get great crowds here at home. We get really good support, fan support. Most of the players' parents can drive in because of where we're located. And so, obviously, it's the goals you shoot on every day, so you feel a little bit more confident there. So, I'm hoping that all of those things kind of build their confidence. You know, you've played this team before. It's not your first time seeing them. I think that's the tough thing about, like, that last trip we just came off of. This late in the year, this is your first time seeing those teams. And so this is a team we've seen before. Now, when we saw them in November, we were a different team back then.
I was going to say, how much different of a team are you? Because, as you say, it was late November when you played them the first time. I know they probably view themselves as a different team as well, but my experience is Lubbock Christian is Lubbock Christian.
Right.
I mean, 365 days a year, they're pretty much the same, and that's outstanding, by
that's
the way.
Right.
It's a, it's a very high level. But Midwestern State, I would think, has made great strides since late November.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we start three freshmen. I mean, that's we're young. We're just really young. And so from then till now, we're executing better. We understand what we're trying to do more. We don't necessarily always do it as consistently as I like, but you're seeing it more than not, if that makes sense. Like, we're executing more possessions than not. And we're better at sustaining runs. We're better at going on runs of our own. We're better at responding to adversity and understanding kind of what our strengths are. Obviously, Zaria Carter being one of them. Kirby Cash is another one. But our guard play has to be really good on Thursday. Carissa Cortez has been doing well for us. And so
she had 8 assists the other day in Laredo against Texas A&M International. And it seems like her play is improving.
Mm-hmm. She's one of the freshmen that we start that has just, to me, gotten a lot better with experience. And so I think that she's going to continue to get better and show herself, you know, to be a much, much improved basketball player. But we kind of got her teetering between the 1 and the 2 back and forth. But she just has a skill set and a toughness to her that, you know, just really helps us and benefits us.
In the last couple of weeks, you've been starting Catalina alongside her. Do you expect that again on Thursday?
Yeah, we're going to stick with that lineup. We feel like it's worked for us, and we're going to just stick with it and, you know, kind of go from there. I mean, from our perspective, we got to go with whoever's going to position us to have good ball control. And, you know, if you kind of look at some of the turnover numbers, you know, Kirby turns it over a little too much, but she scores and rebounds. So it's kind of like, you know, we'll let her play through it. But we can't have 2 people on the court with 3 or 4 turnovers. That's too many. And so Kat gives us good ball control along with Riss. She gives us good ball control. And Kat's not a volume scorer, but she can find the people who are. And so from that perspective, we value possessions. And she's been able to position us to where she, you know, hitting Zaria Carter flying up the court in transition, hitting Riss, who's pushing the ball in transition. And so just having 2 ball handlers on the court helps so that you don't get as much pressure, so that you don't look as rattled under pressure. And a point guard always knows how to get open on the wing for a point guard, if that makes sense. So Riss has ran the point guard. She knows how frustrating it is to sit here and look at a 2 guard, not get open and be denied. And so Riss doesn't do that for Kat. You know, she times it, she gets open because she knows what it's like to be the point guard under pressure, waiting on that 2 guard to get open on the wing. And so they play well together. When they play together, our assist numbers are up. If you look at the stats, I'm just looking at stats, the assist numbers are up, the turnovers are down, and they are putting, you know, Kirby, even Kalissa and Zaria in position to just go up and shoot or just go up and lay it in, whatever it is, because they're putting them in position to score. And then defensively, you know, they're both very pesky on the ball, and so we love that too. And then and our steal numbers go up.
I was going to ask you, do you think you're sacrificing anything on the defensive end with this lineup?
No, I think like if you even look back at the Angelo game, like the steal numbers went up. Kat like got some deflections and popped it up to Riss, who, you know, I can't remember who got credited with the steal, but, you know, no, I thought our defensive intensity went up with this lineup, and that's important. You can't have lackluster defense or defense that's given up and ones to start a game. You know, we have to understand that, like you talked about, the way we start it can contribute to our mental mindset throughout the rest of the game. And this group, you know, they're very, very much, you know, focused on what the goal is. And the nice thing about them, it doesn't feel like they're too emotional about lineup changes or that kind of stuff. They just come in and they like, okay, if I'm starting, great. If I'm coming off the bench, great. You know, it doesn't really feel like they care about that much. Just whenever I get in, I'm going to contribute to what the goal is for the team, which is good.
I was going to say, as a coach, that's got to be really pleasing for you, mm-hmm. that there's not any selfishness on the team.
Right. They don't seem to be that way. They still have high energy. They're clapping, they're cheering. And when they go in, they understand their role and they understand their assignment. And so we've looked at a couple of different lineups, but this one we're going to finish up with just because we feel like we can bring more defensive pressure, and then it gives us a little bit of more scoring off the bench as well.
Do you feel like you're playing your best basketball here at the end of the season?
I would love to say that we are, but I don't know if this is our best basketball. Maybe I'm just focusing on the last 3 minutes of that international game, but I will say, you know, it's improved. It's much improved. You know, it's kind of hard to say it's our best because we're splitting the weeks. Like, right. We'll win Thursday, lose Saturday, lose Thursday, win Saturday. And that doesn't feel like that's your best, right? Like, I think a sweep would be
indicative. And you had a stretch earlier this year where I think you won in the neighborhood of 5 out of 7 or something mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. And you're right, the last couple of weeks it's been kind of a 500 team.
Mm-hmm. Which is frustrating. So I wouldn't say it's our best, but you know, if we could sweep, if we could, you know, be consistent, then I could call it our best. But I just view our team as like learning and growing. I view our team as, you know, learning as they go. A lot of them are new to the Lone Star, and so they've been learning a lot about this league as they go. And so from that perspective, it has been a challenge, but it's been a challenge in a good way. I think challenges grow you and mature you, and we've been growing and maturing as the season has gone on.
Sometimes you'll hear people in my profession say at the end of the year like this, well, they're not a freshman anymore. Mm-hmm. But I was talking to Kevin about this in the pregame show. To me, when you're a freshman, everything is a first. Mm-hmm. And playing in a game like this is going to be a first for these freshmen. So. Yeah. I guess my question is, do you believe in that you've played so many games now you're no longer a freshman, or do you think, no, everything's still kind of a first-time experience?
I mean, I agree with that. Everything is still a first-time experience, but I would say they're not a freshman anymore in the sense of you should be able to draw on the experience of games that you've played so far. It shouldn't be so new and so foreign that you are just deer in headlights out here. Like, you don't even know where to go defensively. You know, that kind of stuff should be out the window. But yes, the newness of playing your last regular season game, or the newness of you get to the conference tournament. This is your first time at the conference tournament. Yes, that freshman thing does apply. And then we have Zaria Carter, who came with us from Texas West, where she was a freshman in these stages and in these situations, and she didn't understand the weight of the moment, you know. And so she understands kind of how naive you can be when you're stepping into those scenes and arenas, and just kind of how spacey it could be mentally. And so she talks to them a lot about, y'all, when we play these teams on the other side of the division, we're not going to play them again, and you want to win the tiebreaker. And so this is the reason why coach is trying to get you to understand we must win these games. So she tries to speak into those moments from a player's perspective, because she was once that freshman that maybe didn't view it as that big of a deal. But, you know, she had upperclassmen that did the same for her. And so I think that's important, that when we're building this program, and as we're moving forward, you want to have upperclassmen that can speak into those moments from a player's view, and maybe not say you're not a freshman anymore, but maybe say like, hey, we got to win these games, y'all, because if it comes down to a tiebreaker, you want to win, you know, the tie. Like she told him yesterday in practice, like, I guarantee you Texas Women's and UT Tyler is not still working on this in their practices. Like, y'all need to get it together. Like, trying to get them to understand, like, advancement and growing and like, let's get better at some things, because this, you know, this time of year is about – it's either win or go home for everybody. It's win or go home. And so if you want to be at home, then keep doing that stuff. But if you want to keep playing, then you got to do what it takes to win. So I agree to a certain degree. They should have some experience to pull from, right? Like they should be like, okay, this didn't work for me at WT when we lost at the buzzer. Or this didn't work for me when we were up on Eastern and end up dropping the game. But then when I did this against Angelo at home, we beat them, you know, or when we did this against that team, we beat them. And so that experience has got to inform decisions that they're making. And so I do agree with the coaches that say, you know, you're not a freshman anymore because it's no longer an excuse for, in, you know, not executing. But I get the idea, it's your first.
And you've got a lot of freshmen with a lot of minutes under their belt. Mm-hmm. So it's not like a freshman that's only playing every once in a while.
Right.
You've relied on these young ladies throughout the course of the season. So it's a little bit different scenario. What about this Lubbock Christian team? You said every team's beatable. What makes this Lubbock Christian team beatable?
Lubbock Christian is a jump shooting team. They'll get downhill and go score some layups and different things like that. They just, to me, I think that when you saw other teams kind of pressure them and be physical with them, like International was physical with them and held them like to 51 or something like that. You kind of go back and look at some of those low scoring games. Those teams were pretty physical with them. And so that's something that you can kind of pick up on. Again, jump shooting teams kind of live and die by the jumper falling. And but also too, you know, they have their top three. So Grace Foster, obviously, who's really good. Macy Maddox, their starting point guard, and then Robertson, the guard. You know, those three are their main three, and then after that, everybody else is pretty guardable in that regards. And not to take anything away from them, I think every team has like a main two or main three. Some have a main four, but they have those three main players. And after that, you know, everybody else is kind of role players. And so if we can keep everybody contained, we feel like we can upset them. But they're not going to beat themselves. You know,
right.
They're not going to come out and just start freestyling or try to take you one-on-one. They're not going to try to just break you down off the bounce to prove a point to the people in the stands. They're going to run their stuff. You know, Steve Gomez teams are always very disciplined.
I was going to say, you know exactly what Lubbock Christian is going to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're not going to come in here and surprise you, really.
Absolutely. That's the thing about them is everybody knows what they're going to do, but they do it so well, they still beat people.
They're like the old school Green Bay Packers. They ran three plays, but they just ran them so well, nobody could stop them. And that's kind of what Lubbock Christian is. And it's like you say, everybody knows what they do, and they win every night, it seems like. As you take a look at, and I realize we're a little premature here, but as you take a look at where the program is and where it started, are you happy with the progress you've made as you reach the end of your second season?
I am. You know, I took a program that was dead last in the Lone Star and a lot of other things, but I'll just stick to the standings. It's a tough job for anybody when you get a team that's last and not just in the conference, in the region. And, you know, we went from 16 to 12, 12 up to tied for eighth right now. And so there's progress being made. It's not happening as fast as I would like, but the reality of it is progress is happening. And it's evident to anybody who wants to be neutral and just
fair-minded.
And just look at what I walked into. We're making progress. And for us to go from just under my watch from, again, 16 to 12, now up to tied for eighth. You know, and this team is, like I say, mostly freshmen that we're playing. I think we're heading in the right direction. And if we can make this kind of increase, you know, from 7 wins to 13 wins, you know, hopefully 14 on Thursday. But if we can do that plus 6 or 7 more next year, I mean, again, there is progress happening. There is a vision in place. I think it's obvious to see, you know, what our style of basketball is. It's not like you're watching games trying to figure out what's going on here. As we've matured, we've gotten better. And that's what we do. We develop players. We're going to continue to develop players. I think that our best basketball is still in front of us. I have not had an off season with these players yet. That's the other side of it. And so off seasons really matter, because what you do in that 6 months off determines what you get to do with the 6 months on. And so I'm excited about the opportunity to get to spend some time developing. It's not as much as I would like. I wish the NCAA would increase the hours, but you know, development matters. It makes a huge difference. And so we've got one of the youngest rosters in the league right now, and to be tied in eighth place, potentially for a chance to be playing, you know, in March, we're heading in the right direction. I'm excited about where we're going, and we're going to keep going up. That's just the reality of it.
The one sad part about this week is this is our last chance to see Zaria Carter at the Ligon Coliseum. And as we talked about it on over the weekend in Laredo, she crossed 1,000 points. That's the second university where she scored 1,000 points in two seasons. I feel like I've run out of superlatives when we're talking about Zari, but it was also interesting listening to you a moment ago, because it's not only that she's a top scorer and a top rebounder, it sounds like off the court, she's also made an impact on this team that's going to last even when she's left Midwestern State.
Absolutely. She's a leader. You know, she got a great GPA. She's on track to graduate. And, you know, she has expressed desires to go play professionally. She won't have an issue with getting a contract to go play pro as long as she wants to. And when she comes back, I told her, donate to the three-point club. You know, I mean, we want you in for life. But, no, she's done an excellent job. I mean, 1,000 points is in two years. There's some people who can't do that in four or five. You look at these COVID kids, some of them haven't done it in five, and she's done it in two. So, but it just speaks to her work ethic, because when she came to us, she was naturally talented and athletic. Don't get me wrong. But very raw. And so a lot of the poise that you see her play with and reading the defense, she learned that over time and just really rolling up her sleeves with us and getting to work. So we're proud of her. I think she's still going to continue to play and do some great things. And she's leaving a legacy here that to me is what you want to see. You want to see your players stay connected and feel like they're a part of something bigger than themselves, because they are. So we're excited for her. Yes, this is her last game on Thursday in Ligon. In Ligon. Okay, not last game overall, but last game in Ligon. So we should definitely come out and celebrate. And if, you know, you feel led to, come give her a hug. I mean, she would love to have that. But excellent player. And she just is really the model of kind of what we want to continue to recruit here and build here moving forward.
You know, the other thing that people may not know about her is if you're the leading scorer and the leading rebounder in the conference, there would be reason to kind of be big-headed, maybe be a prima donna.
Mm-hmm.
She's anything but. She's just so down to earth and just such a friendly person, and doesn't really put herself above everybody else.
Very humble, and she's a relationship person, so she values relationships. For senior night, her old high school coach came in and came into the locker room, and you know, just seeing that she keeps that relationship with her old high school coach from 4 years ago still to this day, to me, you know, it speaks volumes to the kind of person and character that she is. So very humble, great kid, and we're super glad that, you know, she came with us and that she has made the mark she's made in a Mustang uniform.
For sure, and hopefully we can make some more memories here Thursday night.
Yes.
As you take on Lubbock Christian. Bernita, it's always fun doing these podcasts with you. It's been a fun season. Let's keep it going.
Let's keep it going. I love it.
That's Bernita Jackson, the women's head basketball coach here at Midwestern State University. Thanks for joining us on the Stang Gang podcast. Tell your friends about the podcast, and then bring 2, 4, 10 of your friends out to D.L. Ligon Coliseum on Thursday night, and back the Mustangs as they take on Lubbock Christian. I'm Pete Stein. So long.